The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 2 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. My words are spirit and life. Speak blessings and life, not curses and death. From Scripture we hear, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. John 6, verse 63. Okay, in this verse, Jesus directs our attention to the spiritual realm and states that the Spirit gives life. He goes on to state that the very words he speaks are spirit and life. As a spirit being created in the very likeness and image of God, we must use our mouth and speak like God speaks. As Christians, we must be aware of the power of our spoken words. Words are spiritual containers. We use our mouth as a divine instrument to activate our power and authority in the spiritual realm. We speak words to express blessings or curses, life or death over our lives. We use words like building blocks to pave the roads that lead to our destiny. In order to live an abundant life where we are walking in the favor and blessings of God, we must speak like Jesus. Speak what we want and believe what we speak. Refuse to speak what we see, what our senses tell us. Speak a thing before we ever have a thing. Call things that do not exist as though they were. Refuse to speak words of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Child of God, I encourage you to be bold in your speech. Speak the word of God over your situations and expect your words to come to pass. With your words, you become the final or establishing witness. Either you agree with God or you agree with Satan. In the kingdom, spirit realm, once we stand on one accord in agreement with God's word, the issue is settled. I encourage you to follow God's advice. Choose blessings over curses and life over death. Remember, it starts and ends with the words you speak. Lord, thank you for giving us your word, because your word is spirit and life. Holy Spirit, teach me to use my mouth as a divine instrument for good. Help me to speak blessings, not curses, over my life and the lives of others. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I am willing. Healing and miracles start with willingness. From Scripture, we read, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Mark 1, verses 40 through 42. All right, reading about the man with leprosy, we can learn vital lessons about faith in action. The leper believed in Jesus' ability to heal him and approached Jesus without fear of rejection. He stated that he knew Jesus could heal him if Jesus was willing to do so. Jesus was moved by his deep love and compassion for the man. He had no fear or hesitation and violated strong social inhibitions in touching the unclean leper. Jesus was willing to release his anointing and power to heal. Both the leper and Jesus acted in faith and expected results. Immediately, the leper's faith in Jesus and Jesus' faith in his anointing and ability to heal produced a miracle. Willingness always precedes miracles. The leper was willing to risk rejection and ridicule to be healed. Jesus, filled with compassion, was willing to stop and attend to the leper's needs. Child of God, what is your level of willingness? Are you willing to surrender every area of your life to God? Are you willing to step out of the boat and walk on water? Are you willing to trust God in the face of every test and trial? Are you willing to obey God in spite of your feelings? Are you willing to honor God with your time and your money? God was willing to prove his love for us by sending Jesus to die at Calvary. Jesus was willing to give his life for us. I encourage you to be open, willing to believe, trust in God, And remember, miracles come when we have a broken spirit and a willing heart. Lord, thank you for your willingness to love me and to sacrifice your Son Jesus for my sins. Holy Spirit, teach me to always be loving and willing that I might be a source of comfort to a hurting world. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Jesus understands work. Ask Jesus to teach you about work. First, from Scripture, Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 49. After 3 days they found him, came upon him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies. And when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Here your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, distressed and tormented." And he said to them, "How is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my father's house and occupied about my father's business?" Now, as life expectancy grows for both men and women, the years spent at work increases. Today, many people are working well into their 60s and 70s. The average person spends more time with his work family than he does with his spouse and children. As an executive coach, I often have to teach clients about the merits and benefits of time off, taking vacations, unplugging and taking time to rest. Many of them struggle when it comes to turning off laptops and cell phones. I understand the ignorance of unbelievers who have never read or studied God's Word, but I wonder why many Christians fail to understand that Jesus is an expert on work. He was reciting and discussing Scripture in the temple to the age 12, and spent his adult life working as a carpenter. He chose 12 common workers as disciples and trained them to save others and build the church. He preached most often in the market and shared 45 parables dealing with work. Jesus spent 3 years preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons, and performing great miracles. He introduced and modeled revolutionary ideas and concepts of servant leadership. Yes, Jesus understands work. He always did his Father's work, even to the end as he was hanging on the cross. His final words declared, "It is finished." Child of God, isn't it time that you ask Jesus to teach you about work? After all, he's an expert on the subject. Jesus, thank you for teaching us about the meaning and importance of work. Holy Spirit, show me God's perfect will for my life, so that I may glorify and honor him in the work of my hands. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. No more excuses. Quit making excuses and walk into your destiny. From Scripture, we learn in John 5, verses 5 through 8, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Now, I find the interaction between Jesus and the lame man typical of the way many people act in times of need. Scripture says he had suffered for 38 years, a lifetime on a mat, begging. One would think he would be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And yet, when Jesus asked if he wanted to get well, he responds by making excuses for why he's in this situation. Why is it, I wonder, that he didn't scream loudly for all to hear, "Yes, Lord, I want to be healed"? Instead, he made excuses that delayed his healing. Jesus ignored the excuses, took immediate action, and told the man, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." How many times do we imitate the man on the mat? We allow our past or our problems to cripple us and rob us of a full and rich life. Sadly, like the lame man, we accept our condition and resign ourselves to a life of lack. We become victims, accustomed to a life of helplessness. We make excuses for ourselves and try to explain why nothing is working in our life. I confess that I have imitated the man on the mat. I made excuses, not realizing that Jesus wants us to simply believe in him. Once we believe in him, we must walk in faith. In faith, we are to get up, pick up our mats, and pursue God's perfect will for our lives. Child of God, I encourage you to commit today to get up. Step up and over all that is holding you back. Speak to your mind, body, and spirit, and declare no more excuses. Jesus, thank you for this lesson on believing instead of making excuses for my situation. Holy Spirit, help me to simply believe, get up, and walk in faith with my eyes, heart, mind, and spirit fixed on Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. What you give is what you will get. First, a quotation from Scripture, from Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. All right, I'm drawn to the visual imagery in this verse. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I get excited whenever I see this kingdom principle at work. Every Christian should be able to see it play out on a daily basis if you look closely. My godsend and wife, Karen, is the best example I know of the truth of this verse. She gets up every morning confessing and expecting God's favor throughout the day. No matter where she is, at the auto repair shop talking to our mechanic or Office Depot buying supplies, God's favor is always on her mind. Everywhere she goes, she expects and gets God's favor. It may be, one, an open parking spot at Sam's right in front of the door, especially on rainy days. Two, discounts and sale prices even without a coupon or after the sale date. Three, the first appointment on the Xfinity service schedule. Four, accommodations when she has to return an item without a receipt. Five, special offers, exceptions, and upgrades from travel agents and hotel managers when we travel. And six, special and immediate attention from Juan, Victor, and their crews for all of our irrigation, gardening, and landscaping needs. When we were first married, I was amazed as I watched the level of God's favor on her life. We talked about it, and she explained that she and God had a very secure and long-standing agreement. She knows she is his beloved and that he has promised she will always receive his best and his favor. I confess I am no longer surprised by her daily praise reports. I have come to expect it and know that she will get it. Why? She loves God. She is kind, giving, and walks in love and compassion everywhere she goes. People are happy whenever they see her and feel blessed to have her in their lives. I know I do. Father, thank you for your love and favor in my life. Holy Spirit, continue to teach me, through my sweetheart, to walk in love everywhere I go. I know that love activates favor with you and man. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Transformation follows obedience. Start by believing. First, from Scripture, we read John 2, verses 7 through 9, Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." Okay, in this passage, Jesus tells the servants to fill the jars with water. Their willing obedience led to transformation. Water was turned into wine. Not just good wine, but the very best wine. The steps to supernatural transformation, miracles, are in the text. Verses leading up to this passage tell us Mary, Jesus' mother, noticed the supply of wine was low. She told Jesus so he could use his power and meet their need. While Jesus initially resisted and told her that it was not the right time, he went ahead and intervened. Jesus took action to solve the problem. He examined the available resources and told the servants what to do. The servants obeyed him and filled the jars with water. Jesus turned the water into wine. The banquet master tastes it and declares it as the best wine. These simple steps of obedience led to the first of many miracles. As Christians, we have been given power and authority to perform miracles, to use our anointing to change the world and meet the needs of others. Are you willing to be obedient and used by God for His glory and honor? Are you a miracle worker or an agent of change and doing your part to make the world a better place? Child of God, needs are all around you. Ask God to help you have faith to believe in Him and to perform miracles through you on a daily basis. Be prepared to get busy and to be amazed. Father, thank you for transforming me through the power of your love and Jesus' blood sacrifice on the cross. Holy Spirit, teach me to be willing and obedient that I too may be a miracle worker in the name of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. You give them something to eat. Use the name of Jesus and perform miracles. From Scripture in Luke 9, verse 13, we hear, He replied, You give them something to eat. They answered, We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. Now, Jesus was always very purposeful and intentional. We all know the story of Jesus' miracle and how he used the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed over 5,000 men, women, and children. I'm drawn to Jesus' initial response to his disciples. You give them something to eat. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus had given them power and authority and sent them forth to preach the gospel. They had finished their mission trips and returned to report their experiences. They left with Jesus and were off preaching in another village. Suddenly, they saw a great need. Sadly, the disciples did not understand that they possessed the ability to meet the needs of the crowd. They saw limits to their power and authority, and yet Jesus' response shows that he understood the power he possessed and had given the disciples. He had given them all they needed, but they did not know how to use it. In fact, the greater miracles had already happened. The disciples had been given all the power and authority they would ever need, the name of Jesus. Child of God, why are we so ignorant of our power and authority as sons and daughters of God? Why is it that even though God says we are higher than angels and demonic spirits, we walk around with a helpless mindset similar to that of the disciples? Why do we fail to understand that as children of God created in His image, we have all the power and authority we will ever need to overcome sickness, lack, insufficiency, strongholds, and demonic attack? We have power and might in the name of Jesus. Are you sitting back, waiting on God for His solutions, answers, or miracles? If so, I encourage you to seize the moment. Trust God and do what Jesus told His disciples. You perform the miracles. Father, thank you for anointing me to be a blessing to others. I accept your gifts and abundant grace. Holy Spirit, I commit to trust in your instruction and to walk in faith, believing that I can do all things in Jesus' name. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God sends a talking donkey to save a life. Look for God in unexpected places. First, let's examine Numbers, chapter 22, verses 30 through 33. The donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, Why have you beaten your donkey these 3 times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these 3 times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her. Okay, picture this scene. Balaam is riding his donkey, and twice the donkey refuses to go in the direction Balaam desires. Seeing an angel with a sword blocking his path, the donkey lies down and will not go forward. In anger, Balaam beats his donkey. This passage shows the extremes God will take to honor his covenant with us. God anointed Balaam's donkey with spiritual eyes to see the angel and enabled the donkey to talk so he could warn Balaam. I find comfort knowing God loves us so much that he will use a burning bush, as in Exodus 3 verses 2 and 3, and a talking donkey to get our attention. He will use circumstances, a ram stuck in a thicket to meet our needs, as in Genesis 22:13, or clouds by day and fire by night to show his presence and power, as in Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. As a child of God, are you seeing with spiritual eyes, hearing with spiritual ears, and walking in the Spirit? God said he will never leave us or forsake us. He is at work all the time. Be open to his ways and allow his angels to minister to you, help you, and fight for you. God is still in the miracle business and honors his everlasting covenant. I encourage you to look for him and expect him at all times. Watch him at work and be prepared to be amazed. Father, thank you for spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. Holy Spirit, I stand in awe of you at work in my life and know God's thoughts and ways are always bigger than I can ever imagine. Holy Spirit, help me to trust you at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Spiritual blessings activate material blessings. Participate in the blessings exchange. From Scripture, Romans 15, verses 26 and 27, we learn, "For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings." Paul makes it very clear. If you have received a spiritual blessing, you are obligated to share your material blessings. This verse provides the foundation and explains why many churches have changed the order of worship activities and collect the offering after the worship service. This practice allows for the spiritual and material exchange to be complete. The Holy Spirit can now minister to and lead the congregation in their giving. They are no longer stuck in the routine or ritual practice of giving. I can personally attest to the impact of this approach on our giving. Karen and I are faithful in our tithing. We always write out our tithe as soon as a check comes in. Many times I've been led to give more to supplement my tithe as the Holy Spirit prompts my heart during the offering. At times I have been called to give everything I had to literally empty my pockets. I praise God that I was cheerfully and joyfully obedient. Paul illustrates the critical element in giving when he says, "They were pleased to give." Child of God, do you give with a joyful and willing heart? If you give grudgingly or reluctantly, keep your money. I encourage you to look at your normal thoughts and habits regarding tithes and offerings. Has it become simply a religious ritual? Is your heart and spirit fully engaged when you give? If you are tithing regularly, I suggest you start today. If you don't give offerings above your tithes, pray today and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and lead you. Decide today to get engaged in the spiritual and material blessings exchange. Jesus, thank you for blessing me with a joyful and willing heart to give. I know that I can never outgive you. Holy Spirit, help me to always remember that when I give, I honor God. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. From Famine to Abundant Life, Life in Goshen. First, a reading from Genesis 47, verses 11 and 12. Joseph settled his father and brethren, and gave them a possession in Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, Goshen, as Pharaoh commanded. And Joseph supplied his father and his brethren and all his father's household with food according to the needs of their families. Now imagine Jacob and his sons' thoughts and emotions as they leave Canaan for their reunion with Joseph and the new life in Egypt. In Canaan there was a famine, poverty, misery, and death. In Goshen there is abundance, wealth, joy, and life. Joseph, who had been sold into slavery by his brothers because of their jealousy, forgave them and used his position and relationship with Pharaoh to bless them with land, food, and possessions. A son that had been lost and presumed dead was now found. A father that had grieved for a lost son was filled with relief and joy. Brothers who had carried the guilt and shame of their betrayal were reconciled and forgiven. A family splintered and broken was now whole and complete. God not only restored Joseph to his family, he made things better than before. Because of Joseph, Jacob and his sons were granted favor and protection. They were given the best of the land on which to build houses and graze their flocks. All their needs were met. Years of faithful obedience and life in the presence of God paid off for Joseph and his family. Child of God, in the midst of lack and insufficiency, remain faithful to God. Like Joseph, continue to trust God even in the face of persecution and trial. In the midst of crisis and lack, trust God. In the face of lies and betrayal, trust God. When the world is falling apart around you, trust God. Trust God to provide a way out when it looks like there is no escape. Like Joseph, hold on to your confidence and hope. In the midst of famine, poverty, misery, and death, God will provide protection, provision, and abundant life. With God, there is life in the land of Goshen, even in the midst of famine and lack. Father, thank you for this powerful lesson on the rewards of faithfulness and trust. I refuse to walk in fear and unbelief. Holy Spirit, I know you will lead and guide me into a life of promise, protection, and abundance, my Goshen. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Call things that are not as though they are. Confess God's word over your life. From Romans chapter 4, verse 17, we read, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations." He is our Father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Here we read that God referred to Abraham as the father of many nations. God spoke life, children, generations, and even nations into Abraham's life. Abraham chose to believe God's word through faith. As children of God, we must learn to imitate God and speak like God. Our mouth is a divine instrument that we use to speak blessings or curses, life or death into our lives. Just as God spoke the world into existence, we must develop the habit of calling things that are not as though they are. We can either speak, "I never have any money and will never get out of debt," or, "God has blessed me with abundance. I have all the money I need, all my bills are paid, and I am out of debt." The world calls it speaking positive affirmations. But as Christians, we know it is more than that. We are speaking confessions of our faith. As Christians, we must speak what we need and want, not what we see. We must confess life, not death, faith, not fear, love and compassion, not self-interest and selfishness, deliverance and freedom, not slavery and bondage, health and wellness, not sickness and disease, abundance, prosperity and success, not lack, insufficiency, failure and ruin, hope and confidence, not worry and anxiety, wholeness, not brokenness, grace and forgiveness, not condemnation and judgment, gratitude and thankfulness, not discontentment and dissatisfaction. We must learn how to control our thoughts and our mouth and refuse to speak curses over our life. The more I grow spiritually, the more I pause before I open my mouth to speak. Whenever I hear a negative thought or curse come out of my mouth, I immediately repent and cancel out my words with a confession of faith. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to show you any area of your life where you need to change your words. and call the things that are not as though they are. Father, thank you for your word, which is spirit, life, truth, and light. Holy Spirit, help me use my mouth as an instrument of my faith to copy Jesus in the words I speak. Teach me to call the things that are not as though they are. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Job offered letter from God. God created work and made the first hiring decision. From Scripture, in Genesis 2, verse 15, we read, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Now, headlines read, "Archaeologists announce amazing discovery. Job offer letter from God." Breaking news reports archaeologists working in a remote cave on the summit of Mount Ararat discovered what is believed to be the first written job offer letter. Imagine the buzz on social media and the internet. Historians, theologians, biblical scholars, church officials, authors, business leaders, even HR professionals across the globe are gathering to carefully examine and debate the artifact's authenticity. One expert proclaims, "This is absolutely amazing, world-changing. We must now reframe our thinking and rewrite all the books about business and the role of God and faith in the marketplace." The perfectly preserved manuscript is quoted here in its entirety. "Dear Adam, it is with great pleasure and excitement that I write this letter to you. On behalf of Holy Trinity Enterprises, we are pleased to offer you the position of Master Gardener, Manager and Steward, with immediate promotion to Husband and Father of Mankind. We created you just for this unique role and have every confidence in your ability to do the job. We will provide you with all you need, including an amazing compensation package and great benefits. We provide a groundbreaking one-on-one coaching and mentoring program. You can work from home, no commute necessary. You do not even have to wear clothes. I know you will like that. We have decided it is not good for you to be alone, so we have immediate plans to give you a companion and wife, Eve, to help you. We do need you to start later today. We have great plans for you, Adam. Our master plan for mankind and planet Earth will rest on your shoulders. I know you can do it. We want to welcome you aboard. I will see you later today in the garden. Always yours, Jehovah, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah Tzabaoth, Jehovah Elohei, El Shaddai, Elohim, El Elyon, Adonai, Chairman, Holy Trinity Enterprises, I am, Lord your God, Creator and Heavenly Father, Dad." Father, thank you for your word and for teaching me about work. Jesus, you created the model and set the standard for work that honors God. Holy Spirit, help me honor and glorify God in my daily work life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Tap into your power source. Plug in and get charged. First, a reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Now, in the business world, power is important. Power is defined by organization charts, titles and positions, job duties and responsibilities, perks and privileges, office location, access to data and information, annual bonuses and promotion opportunities. Executives, mid-level managers, supervisors, foremen, and team leaders have power. Yes, individuals have power. It's all a matter of degree. As a Christian, you must ask yourself, 1. What power do I have? 2. Where does my power come from? 3. Does my power come from man or God? 4. If God has anointed me with power, How will I know if I have it, and how am I supposed to use it? 5. Am I using my power according to His will or my own? In the spiritual realm, we were filled with the fullness of God, His love and grace, when we connected with Jesus Christ, the root source of our power. We have spiritual power when we walk in love and obey God's commandments to love others. When we stand and operate in God's circle of love, we access the anointing and power of God through His grace. When we fail to love God and others, we are cut off from our power source. Child of God, remember that God is love. He anointed us with His grace because He loved us. I encourage you to tap into your power source, the grace and love of God, be empowered, model Jesus, and connect with everyone you meet by being loving, kind, and compassionate. Father, thank you for your love and for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross. Holy Spirit, give me a heart transplant today with a heart that is clean, pure, and filled with God's love and compassion, and teach me to walk in love at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.